to the Bill and Paul Kugel Show. Brad Pollock and Bob Leonard in studio today. Gary Bell's out of town. We're talking to you about any legal topic you would like to talk about in our regular lives and our regular lawyer lives. Bob and I, the law firm of Bell and Pollock, we've been around since 1983. We are personal injury lawyers, and we'll handle your personal injury case. If you've been hurt as a result of the negligence of another, we'll step up, we'll help you, we'll get you a fair compensation, we'll make sure you recover. We'll give you a legal game plan, help you with regard to your case. It's important that you make sure you get fully and fairly compensated with respect to any kind of injury you might have. But on Saturday mornings, for the last 15, 20 years or so, two of the lawyers from our firm, usually it's Gary and Brad. Bob's come here many times. We have Rob Brovich comes in. We have a number of other lawyers that will come in. We come into the studio right here at KHOW, and we sit down and we talk to you about any legal question you have, any legal matter that's going on. Quite often, we need to talk to you off the air. We need to talk to you during the week. We'll have another attorney come in, or we'll have other attorneys get in touch with you. We'll refer you out to other attorneys who might be in the specialty that you're calling about. But generally, we try to at least get you started on telephone calls right here in the studio. You can call us at 303-713-8255. That's 303-713-8255. If you're in Steamboat Springs, you can call us at 970-457-1009. We do this as a public service. We do it so that we can try and help people with respect to legal questions. Sometimes you just need a starter. You need some kind of idea. You need some way to get going forward, and we like to give it to you. As I stated, we're personal injury lawyers. We've been doing that since 1983. The firm started. Before that, Gary and I both also practiced law as personal injury lawyers. We'll take care of your injuries. We'll give you a legal game plan. You know, you can't always judge or determine the value of a case when you first walk in the door. We're not going to have you walk in and try and hook you. We will talk to you about what we can do to help you and see if you want to hire us. But if you need questions with regard to that, you can sit down and make an appointment. Gary and I and Bob and all the rest of the lawyers in our office have many, many 6 and 7 verdict cases, but not every case is that big. Not every case is one that's going to result in that amount. You're not going to see a bunch of hype where we're going to be talking about hundreds of thousands or our cases for hundreds of thousands or for millions. We don't do that. We're not going to rush you in where you've got to call us when the accident occurs, or you got to call us that night when from within an hour of the accident, or if it happens at midnight, you got to call us from the scene of the accident. We're going to talk to you about appropriate cases that you can address, that you can get yourself a fair recovery. Bob, how are you doing today?
Good, Brad. How are you? It's a couple days before Christmas, ready for the holidays to start.
That's right. The holidays have started, actually. We started with Thanksgiving, but it's been probably a hectic life for all of you as you're out there shopping and doing the things you want to do and getting yourself ready for Christmas. But if you have any questions for us, call us at 303-713-8255 or at 970-457-1009. You can call us for anything from family law to any kind of wills or questions you might have with respect to that, or any other questions you have, or personal injury questions.
So, Brad, have you been out there looking, shopping, seeing those parking lots down there, Park Meadows, other big malls? Thousands, hundreds of thousands of cars out there, people walking between the cars driving around.
Once again, here we go. We've got cars and people all trying to mix in the same spaces, and which gives you the parking lot accidents. You get the parking lot injuries. You get the parking lot cases. Many of you understand that most of the time in a crash or in an incident that occurs at the parking lot, unless there's injury to a person, the police are probably not going to come take care of the case. They're not, or come out to the scene of the accident. It's going to be fender bender. They're going to tell you to exchange your insurance information. You're on private property. And when you're on private property, you're dealing with parking lots that have their own safety rules. They have their own signs. Those signs need to be observed. but you also need to know the rules of the road in a parking lot, which are not necessarily the same as when you're driving out on the road, Bob.
You know, Brad, parking lots are probably one of the most dangerous places for us to drive. You mentioned you have pedestrians walking in the same, sharing the same space as cars. And up to, you know, almost 20% of all the accidents where people get injured occur in parking lots. Parking lots are just really dangerous. You know, people don't avoid, especially this time of the year. They're going back to their cars, they're carrying presents. They're not really look where they're not watching where they're walking. And then, of course, you know, people are trying to find that elusive parking spot as close as you can get to the front of the store and not paying attention to people walking around.
Oh, people fight over the parking lots, over parking spaces. You got carts going around. You got unattended carts. You got attended carts. You got children going, unattended children, attended children. You've got people walking up and down the feeder lanes. You've got the thoroughfares. You've got signs that you're trying to watch. You're trying to watch for a spot. You've got people rushing around. And the question is, what are the rules? And you know, parking lots take you back to what a lot of times needs to be considered on the road. Now, when you stop to think about a parking lot, what goes on in the parking lot? When you go to park at any of the different malls today, folks, you're going to think about just using your common sense and using common courtesies when driving and when parking and when doing what you're supposed to do. And what does that mean? That means that as you're going down a feeder lane, you're going to stop for a thoroughfare. You're going to look. You're going to see if there's anybody there. If you're confused about the parking lot, you're going to drive with caution. As you're driving down and you see pedestrians there, you see people walking, you're going to slow down. You're not going to hit them. If you see children, or if you have even the hint that there's children, you're going to slow down. You're going to be watching for children. Common rules of the road that we like to talk about a lot when we do this business, as far as what the law is or whether there's a sign. Now, yes, if there's a stop sign, you got to stop for it. If there's a yield sign, you got to yield for it. But as you're backing out of your space, as you're driving down your space, there's common rules of the road that you need to be able to observe.
You know, you still, even though you might have an accident in the parking lot, you still have your insurance. Your insurance coverage will still cover those types of accidents. But, you know, there again, you may not have a police officer come in. No one's going to be ticketed. It's on private property. It could be a he said, she said. So you need to prepare to protect yourself in case you're in a car accident. You know, break out that cell phone camera, start taking pictures and record that accident, protect yourself, because you're not going to get a police report.
Now I've dealt with a number of cases where people have been injured in the parking lot incident, and where somebody's run over or hit a pedestrian, or there's been some kind of injury, or somebody's backing out when the car going down the feeder lane or the thoroughfare lane is going pretty fast. They back out and they get hit, and it causes injuries. And we have to go back, like I said, to the rules of the road. The first thing we do is we look to see if there's any signage. We don't look to see what laws there might be. We look to see if there's any signage. And we want to know about the signs because we want to know, you know, those can take priority. Private property, people can mark their property the way they want for signs. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to take your calls. You can call us at 303-713-8255. 970-457-1009. Mike, you're first up. When we come back, we'll talk to you about what's going on with your real estate issue. You listen to the Bell and Paul Google Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock, Bob Leonard in the studio today. We're here to talk to you about your legal questions. We have lines open, 303-713-8255, 970-457-1009 for those of you in Steamboat. We're going to talk to Mike. Mike's calling us from South Carolina concerning a real estate issue with a home in Granby. Mike, you get us out there in South Carolina?
I do. With iHeartRadio, love it.
I'll be darned, that's pretty good. So you got a home in Granby, or what's going on?
Yeah, a home on Lake Granby. So anyway, I bought it about 6 years ago. and it was under foreclosure. After we had purchased it, we did a lot of improvements to it. There was a lot of damage to it or whatnot. But regardless, this 2 weeks ago, I got a notice from some land reclamation federal government saying that there's some kind of canal act from 1890 and that they have authority to 100 feet on either side of the canal, which could be potentially my house, my garage, my whole property. And if for any reason they needed to use that property, it was at my expense to remove it, or they would do it at my expense within 30 days. And, this is the first time we're hearing about it. I just thought something like that probably should come out of my title insurance or something.
Wow. Okay, so what have they told you they want to do anything, first of all?
No, they haven't. I really doubt that they will. And I say a canal. There's a pump house on Lake Granby, and it goes up to a canal that pumps back to Shadow Mountain. So it's underground, and there's plenty of room between me and my neighbors if they ever had to do anything. However, whenever we come around to selling this place, I'm going to take a hit, I feel, because of this potential problem.
Okay, have you been able to get, when you bought the place, you got it out of foreclosure, so probably did not have a survey or any type of platting to let you know where you'd probably got something that showed you where your property began and ended, right?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Do you have any improvements on any part of this right-of-way or access?
Well, not since we purchased a home, no.
Well, but I mean, when you purchased it, are there any improvements that are sitting on top of where the easement is? Because the Canal Act of 1890.
Everything. My house, my garage, my fencing.
All right. So within
100 feet, everything is.
Well, I have a feeling we'd want to look at what's going on, because I'm not so sure that you're going to be subject, that they can destroy your property as a result of that, okay? There is a Canal Act of 1890. Did you look it up? It's at 43 U.S.C. 945. It reserved the right of the federal government, an easement or a right-of-way across all lands west of the 100th meridian. Now, you said, is this a house you bought, or is it a condo, or what is it?
It's a standalone house and a separate garage.
All right. And have you been able to, since you got that notice, go back and do the history on the land to see what goes on with regard to it, as far as how and why anybody was allowed to build property on it or build a house on it?
Honestly, I have no idea. I mean, this is like I said, we just got it 2 weeks ago, and my wife was like, we probably need to talk to someone, figure this out. And we're both not so much concerned that they'll actually do something, although there is talk that they're may reroute water somehow, the Shadow Mountain. But we just feel like, we're not going to keep this house forever. And when we do sell it, we're going to need to disclose this. And it's when you read it, it looks kind of scary. I don't have the document with me, but it does say, including any property, including your home, that you're responsible to remove it within 30 days if that's what they require. Again, I don't think they'll ever do it, because there's plenty of room there, but
you're right. It can affect the value of the property, and that's it, because somebody can use it to affect the value. But I'm concerned about, there were building permits given for this house, obviously. It was identified as a location where a house could be built, or where your improvements could be built. And I'm kind of finding it interesting that they were built on top of an easement, and an easement that could very much affect having to remove the property, is what I understand you're saying the easement reads with respect to.
Yeah, and there must be at least a half a dozen people affected by it, because there's homes going back. I live close to the lake, but if you go all the way back up to the pump house to where the canal starts, there's at least four homes on each side of the canal.
Okay.
And I'm no closer than anyone else.
No, before they would do that, although they have the easement and the legislation is there, I would think they'd have to give alternate methods or ways for the easement to be exercised and for the drainage to occur. But what I'd like to do, you know, because I'm looking at it now, the Canal Act is under 43 U.S.C. 945. It tracks the language of the U.S. Code, it says. But what I'm seeing right now is that there's some indications that if you're building on that, subject to and under the clear sight of the entities that are supposed to be enforcing the act, that they shouldn't have let you build that, or not you, but the prior owners. And if they did, they might have waived some rights, is what I'm looking at as far as the text of the section.
Like I say, the biggest shocker was that we just got this 6 years later, 2 weeks ago, literally. I got a certified letter in the mail.
The problem with it, when you get it out of foreclosure, did you get any kind of title work done on the property?
I did. I paid for title work, yes.
Did the title work come up with it?
No.
Oh. Oh. That's good news for you. You know, when you stop to look at it. I think now we want to talk to them, because the title company should have picked up this reservation. Should have picked up this.
That's kind of what I feel they should have, too. But I don't know. And I don't know what my rights are with the title company. I mean, I don't know. Let me just run something by it. So we put a lot of improvements into the house. The value has gone up quite a bit, and we continue to put improvements on it. I mean, can they come back and say, oh, okay, we'll give you the original price you paid for it? Or do you know how that works?
Oh, I think that the title company could be subject to losses and diminution of value of the property based on what your purchase of the property was, and if you did improvements. And normally in foreclosure homes, you've got to do improvements right away to even make it habitable, to make it worthwhile.
Right.
And the title company could be on the hook for all that, because this act has been clearly there since 1890. It's part of the statutes. You use title company up in Granby?
I'm not sure where the title company was. It might have been out of Denver, but...
I don't think it really matters, to be honest with you, Mike, as I'm saying.
I'd have to dig that up.
Bob, what do you think? I don't think it matters on the title
company. No, I think it's a title company in Colorado. I think you're protected.
Yeah, and I think what I'd like to do... When did you learn about this? When did you get the letter?
About 2 weeks ago. Not even that long. Last week, probably.
All right. I think notice has to be given to the title company the potential problem and the failure to have seen the easement. Because what you're making clear to me when we're talking to you is that had you known about the easement, you might not have purchased the property. You might not have exercised the improvements on the property or put the improvements on the property.
Correct. I mean, and now more of my concern now lies in that when it comes time to sell the property and have to disclose this, I could be wrong. I just believe I'm going to take a hit on selling the property some kind of price, in that when someone comes in to buy, they're going to be like, this carries this potential of ripping down my home.
No. You're exactly right. But I don't think you want to wait until that time. I think right now we ought to be determining the difference in value of the property. So you need to start, there's a couple things I want to do. I'm only going to want you to get your phone number. You need to start dealing with how much you paid for the property and the improvements you put on it, how much they were.
Okay.
And I think we want to, I know a couple of realtors up in Winter Park. Now that's a little ways off from Granby, but we can grab some up in Granby too, that can give us some values of the property based with and without the easement.
What triggered this letter?
A mailman at my door last week. I have no idea.
Well, that's one of the things. I wonder if they saw you doing the improvements. I wonder.
We've had it for 6 years. I mean, most of the majority
6 years,
of the
yeah.
I lived in Colorado about 6 years ago.
Okay.
And when I lived there, yeah, I mean, that's when we did a lot of the work on the house.
Did you live up in Granby?
I lived in Westminster. I mean, it was my primary home.
Okay. Well, here's what I want to do. I want to get, this is an easement of public information, okay? It's a federal easement that's been there. It's codified by statute. It's clearly there. It should have given you the information, okay? It was formed in 1904, it says, by a private corporation that is a valid easement on your property. It's something the title company should have picked up. There's no reason why, that I know of, they shouldn't have picked it up. So what I want to do is I want to get the information for you, get some realtors out there, and find out the difference in the value of your property, which then I think we ought to be presenting to the title company.
Okay.
Don't you think that's the best way to go?
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I don't want to do is lose the house.
No, I agree with you. I don't see them doing it, but when you've got an easement, people will use it to say it affects the value of the property. So you've lost some of the value of your property.
Yeah.
Let's get your name. I'm also, listen to the next hour. We're going to have Larry and Barry, the real estate guys, on. I believe they're coming in. We're close to Christmas, but I believe they're coming on. And they listen to our show, and I'm going to throw this onto their lap too. But hold, let me get your number, okay?
All right.
And we'll call you this week about it. Well,
okay.
It might be next week with Christmas coming
fine.
Up.
I'm not,
But we'll take
it's
care of you.
6 years, I'm not in a big hurry.
We'll get you taken care of.
All right.
You're listening to the Bell and Polk Legal Show. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. We've got lines open. You can call us at 303-713-8255. If you're in Steamboat, call us at 970-457-1009. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock, Bob Leonard in the studio today. You can call us at 303-713-8255. In Steamboat Springs, 970-457-1009. We've got some lines open. Give us a call about any legal topic. But before we talk much more law, we're going to talk some really good food over at Caitlin's Restaurant. Eric, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. I'm ready to talk food. How are you?
I'm ready to talk food, too. And I really like the food at Caitlin's, so let's talk some good food.
Absolutely.
There.
Well, we'll start with the specials we're going to run. We got new specials. The breakfast special is going to be what we've ran before. It's an oatmeal crusted French toast. So we're taking Texas toast, going to griddle that to a golden brown that is caked on with a egg wash, vanilla, nutmeg mixture, and then the oatmeal is put on top of that. We're going to grill it to a golden brown so it's nice and crunchy. Get a good crisp crunch out of that golden brown. Serve that with maple syrup. That is the oatmeal French toast. That is the breakfast special for the next 2 weeks. And then our lunch special is going to be a blue cheeseburger. We've ground up some ground beef, seasoned it with some blue cheese mix, have some crumbles on the sides. That's a 6-ounce burger. We're going to cook that to the temperature of your liking. Always serve that with our homemade chips or our waffle cut fries. Both of those are really good. That's going to be the lunch special going into the new year. And we are also running Crafts and Mimosas for $13.50, so you can celebrate with your friends, your family. It's a good time to get together. We've had a lot of large parties right around the holiday time, so come in. It's a great way to start your day, get some mimosas, get some hearty breakfast, go about your business or your travels. I know there's a lot of traveling going on. But we've got flat screens on. We've got sports on. We've got tons of things going on. Now, our Monday and Friday buffet is on a little bit of a reprieve. We're going to revamp that going into the new year, so we're not going to run that till January. We're going to mix that up a little bit. We haven't quite decided how we're going to do it, but we're going to spice that up a little bit and do that a little bit differently going into the new year, so look forward to that. But we do have all those other things on the menu, all the scratch-made pancakes, the red and green chili, everything that's made right here on the premises, and it's good to go. You can also buy it in bulk, so there's all kinds of things going on right there.
Hey, Eric.
Yes?
What about your French toast cinnamon rolls?
We do. Well, we call them cinnamon grillers. So we do those. We take a cinnamon roll. We cut it right in half. We put it on the griddle, get it to a golden brown, serve that with a side of hot butter or serve that with some syrup on the side. People do both. Those are really good. And you can buy those in bulk, too. You know, we make those in trays. I think they come 8 to a tray. So if you want to do that, you can call ahead, get some for home. If you don't want to have time baking them at home and you want to bring them in, pop them in the microwave, heat them up, or just leave them out at room temp for a few hours and have them nice and soft, we're more than happy to accommodate those things. So all kinds of things we can do for you going into the holidays and after that as well at Caitlin's.
The only problem I have, Eric, is I come get one of those bowls, Southern Bowl. Everybody listen, the Southern Bowl is the best bowl.
Absolutely.
I go get one of those Southern Bowls, and by the time I've eaten that, I don't have any room left for your French toast cinnamon grilling.
That's what the tickle boxes are for.
Yeah. I like
that. You don't have to buy the box. The box comes free, but you can take that home and you can eat on it later or watch TV, watch a movie later on, and enjoy something sweet to go along with that.
Okay, now you're open Christmas Eve. You're open the day after Christmas. You're closed on Christmas.
We're closed on Christmas Day. Yes, we are closed on Christmas Day. We are open New Year, Christmas Eve and the day after. We're also open on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. We are open there. So those are big days for us. Those are big recuperating days for a lot of people that go out and have a little too much cheer. It's a great place to come and shake that off. So all kinds of things going on at Caitlin's to come and check out if you haven't done so already, guys.
All right, where are you located, man?
Guys, we are 4379 East Mississippi Avenue. Now, that's one block east of Caldwell Boulevard. That is in the Glendale Shopping Center, which is under a little bit of construction like we talked about last week, but they are getting that done pretty quickly. We've got some more parking spaces available, so it shouldn't be too much of a problem coming on in, but I guarantee if you do, you will love it every bite of the way.
You know, I was there just the other day, Eric, and it didn't seem like the construction or parking was causing any problems.
No, they've been so cooperative, and they've been so they've expedited that process really well, so they've looked out for the tenants and everybody and the customers alike, so we're really appreciative of that.
All right. See you later, buddy.
Have a good day.
Take care. Thank you. You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Once again, we have lines open at 303-713-8255 and at 970-457-1009. As I was talking to our last caller, when I was talking to Mike, I asked him to listen to Larry and Barry Real Estate Show. Larry and Barry come on right after our show, and they'll be on at 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. Then they take a little break and come back later on. It's important that you listen to them, and if they're not there, I'm going to talk to Mike and get him hooked up with them. Listen, this is one of the things we talk about. Yes, we're personal injury lawyers, but you know, real estate law is something that you've got to pay attention to. And when you're buying a place, you want to pay attention to getting the title work. Mike made the right decision to get that title work and to make sure he had title to the property. And one of the things title is supposed to show you are any easements that could adversely affect your property, that run across the property and that adversely affect it. Because he has that title work, he's probably going to have some protection. He's going to be able to do some things to protect his property. Listen to Larry and Barry. They talk to you about timely events, about what's going on with the values of your property, what's going on with regard to when you want to buy, where you want to buy, what you want to do, what rights you have, and give you general just good common sense information also about what you want to do with your property rights. But they also do a great job of helping you understand what your rights are. And in this particular case, I think Mike might be in a pretty good situation with regard to the title company if this adversely affected the value of his property. He went through and got the title work. Now, we kind of left it a little bit hanging. As far as what we do in the event you have a crash in a parking lot. What do you want to do? Well, first of all, we at Bell and Pollock have accident packets, and you ought to give us a call, 303-795-5900, or get on our website, bellpollock.com or championsofthepeople.com, and get a couple of accident packets that you can put in your car that give you general ideas and general information and some forms to fill out with those accident packets.
You know, Brad, those packets have places where you can record the other person's information, their driver's license, their name, their insurance company, just information how the accident occurred, where it occurred. And it's important information when you come to us. We try to help you solve the issue of what's going on with an automobile accident, try to help you. Those are the kinds of things we really need. And along with pictures and...
They are. And the pictures now, when you're in that... And remember, in parking lots, the rules of the road may or may not apply depending on what the parking lot owner and the private property has put down as far as different kinds of signage and those type things. And so, you know, you always want to stand back and get a little bit of the signage and understand what's happening there. And then you want to... You want to make sure you're getting the you're getting it taken care of as far as getting a total picture of the entire spot on the parking lot. I can't tell you how many times I've had where people have backed into each other, and I get to see the damage on the vehicle, but I don't get to see the entire lane, the entire feeder lane, spots.
A lot of these shops have cameras now.
That's right. We've got a couple calls. We're going to take them in the order in which they come. We're going to talk to James in Pueblo. And then we'll talk to you, Dean. James, you have a landlord-tenant issue.
Sir.
What's going on, buddy?
Oh, just they owe me a couple $1,000s, and they said they're going to move, but if they don't, I'm just wondering, what do I do? Just go to a lawyer, and I know that's a little expensive that way.
You're the landlord?
Yeah.
You're not getting paid your rent?
Pardon me?
Are you not getting paid your rent?
Well, starting, they just started that, and they owe me for some electricity and water bills. And
uh-oh. How long have they been in the property?
Oh, maybe a year or two.
Okay, and is it a monthly rental or monthly payment they're supposed to make?
Yeah, rent monthly.
How many months are they behind?
Well, like I said, it's just the water and the electricity.
Yeah, but how many months have they not been paying it?
It adds up to about $1,000 each, so $2,000.
Okay, so about a couple months.
Yeah.
Have you been giving them notice that they're not making the payment and you need the payment made?
No.
Okay. And is the water bill and the electricity, are they in your name?
They were, but not anymore.
They're in the tenant's name now?
Yeah.
Now, the problem is, especially with respect to water, that can act as a lien against the unit. So you want to be careful about that, still making sure they get it paid. You want to make sure the water company and the electrical company understand that they're dealing with the tenant. And a lot of times you wanted to call up and talk to them about making sure they're not going to put a lien on your unit.
Oh, okay.
So that when these tenants move out. Listen, you've got to give these tenants notice. It sounds they've been tenants, they've been there a long time, but you've got to give them notice. Do you have a lease?
Just a monthly.
Okay. I'm going to want to see whatever lease you've got, and I want to make sure we give them notice as far as what they've got to pay, and give them the idea that if they don't do it, they're going to get evicted.
Right.
You know, you don't want this to go on. This can be a very very tough situation.
Right.
So can you give us your name and number? We'll deal with you this week or within the next week and a half or so, and we'll get a demand letter out for you.
Yes, sir.
We'll lay out exactly what you got to do. All right.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. We're going to take a short break. Dean, we're going to talk to you. I know you talked to us or you heard about our RICO stuff last week. So, Dean, we're going to get right with you as soon as we come back for a break. You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show, 303-713-8255 or 970-457-1009. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock and Bob Leonard in the studio today. We're going to get right to the phones, and we're going to talk to Dean. Dean, how you doing, man?
I'm fine. How are you?
Doing fine. You've been calling us a lot about the Aurora stuff, weren't you?
Well, I could talk about Aurora, but I don't want to get into that right now.
Okay. Tell me, you had some, and I'm sorry we didn't get to you last week, by the way.
That's okay. You guys were talking about RICO.
Right.
I'll give you some background. 2 years ago, somebody ripped off my credit card.
Okay.
And what they did, not just me, but lots of people in Aurora, and I'm not quite sure how they got my card, but they got my card and a lot of other people's. So the Department of Justice got involved in this thing.
Okay.
And there's a case. I'm going to give you the number. It's 1-18-CR-00045-RM. And where this goes when you're talking about the RICO, they arrested these guys. There's 10 of these guys. It was a ring. And this is where this leads to the RICO. And what they were doing is taking people's credit cards, making clones of the credit cards. Then with these clone credit cards, they had these fuel trucks, pickup trucks that they had, and they had phony fuel tanks in the back, and they'd fill these fuel tanks up with diesel fuel and take it up to a fellow up in Fort Lupton and sell the fuel to this guy.
Wow.
And then he's got a big trucking operation and a bus operation.
Uh-huh.
Now, they arrested these guys, and they've all pleaded out. There's 10 of them. Most of these guys, most of them, are illegals. But one of them, he's got some assets, and he was the ringleader of this thing. And the guy in Fort Lupton is the guy with the assets. To put together a RICO case, I think there's one here. The credit card company, this is hundreds of thousands of dollars is what these guys got. And I've got a ton of paperwork on this stuff. I've talked to the FBI and I've talked to the U.S. attorney on this. So, I mean, I just kind of know what's, you know, some of this stuff. And I've been to court and I've watched the sentencing as it's playing out. These guys are getting nothing on their sentences. Nothing.
Wow. Amazing what you've got into this one. Okay. I don't see any way they avoid being known as a RICO, as a racketeering and influence operation. Okay. There's no doubt they were involved in it. So you've got the right attitude. The next question you have, and this is a civil right. It's a right to be given to citizens and civil rights to help control racketeering and influence. Okay. So I don't see any way that it can be avoided, this racketeering influence activity, and that you have the right to bring an action against this person. The normal question, as always, is there any money? Are there any assets anywhere that can be levied against in order to satisfy a judgment? Once again, one of the biggest questions on that is when the government gets involved, a lot of times the government will come in and seize a bunch of this property and they'll keep it for themselves. Do you know, when you said this guy have assets, do you know if his assets are being seized or if he's having to give them up or if he's being fined or what's going on?
Well, the last guy in this thing, have you found the case yet or have you looked at it?
No, I haven't looked at it right now.
Okay.
But go ahead. You know, I did look up 18 CR 0045 and it hasn't come up yet, so I'll continue to look it up. But tell me what you got. Last guy what?
Well, the last guy will be sentenced in February, and he was the ringleader of this thing, and he's a U.S. citizen. The rest of them, and this has been bizarre. Some of these guys are from Cuba, and the rest of them are from Mexico.
Okay.
And you learn a lot by sitting in these courtrooms. The judge said if you were from Mexico or Latin American countries, you'd be deported. And some of these guys are getting jail time.
Okay.
But because these guys are from Cuba, there's a different treaty between the U.S. and Cuba. These guys don't get deported.
Right.
It's just bizarre. But they're illegals nonetheless.
Well, or are they getting prison sentences?
This last guy got three years prison.
Okay.
Got a $4,000 fine. They tied about $50,000 of that guy, and he gets $4,000.
Were there any type of restitution orders entered?
Yeah, $4,000.
That you said a fine versus restitution.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Restitution $4,000. Some of them have had no restitution.
Okay. So that's the question you come up with next is, are we talking, when it all gets said and done, are there going to be assets to go against? Because that's the question you always have to ask.
And to answer your question, I think with the last guy, the one that's an American citizen, think he's got some assets.
Then you want to go ahead and move on this thing. You want to go ahead and do stuff. Now, you said you were a victim of it?
Yes.
What did you ultimately get reimbursed from your credit cards or what?
Yes, I did.
Okay. So now the credit card company would be the entity that's got the damages.
What's funny is you think that they've got damages, but now what I've been told is they turn it into their insurance, and the insurance in this case happens to be the FDIC.
There you go. You're exactly right.
Now, do I have standing as a U.S. citizen paying the FDIC?
Oh, I think they're going to say it's too far removed. They're not going to say you're within the zone that you could be bringing it on behalf of the FDIC. They're going to say the FDIC would have to be it. That'd be a governmental entity that would have to be looking to get to go after this guy's assets.
How long ago did this happen?
About 2 years.
Okay. I'm just looking. It looks like there's a 4-year statute of limitations for RICO cases.
Yeah, I think you're fine on that. But I don't know if you can bring a case on behalf of the FDIC. I doubt very much you can. But, Dean, you've got me heading to the research books again. Thank you very much. Good time.
Well, you're welcome. I think this is very interesting. I followed it, and I want to follow it to the end. And watching the judges with the sentencing on this, it's a slap on the wrist with these guys.
Who's the judge?
Well, there's been several judges. Judge Moore he's been handling most of it. And I saw that there's a new judge on one of them a couple weeks ago. I can't remember what his name was. Okay. Martinez was one of the other guys.
In federal court?
Yeah.
Judge Martinez is a great judge. I'll just tell you, in my experience with him, I've been in front of him, and I've watched him, and I've actually gone down and watched trials that he's done. He's a great judge.
Was he fair? Absolutely, he was fair. I think he was overly fair.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know Judge Moore that well, but Martinez, I do know.
He's had the majority. He's had the bulk of this case, but Martinez ended up getting one of these guys, and he sentenced him to 3 years and 3 years probation. And this guy was the Cuban.
All right, that's our out music. Dean, can we get your number? I want to talk
absolutely,
to you about it.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm going to put you on hold. I'm going to have Kevin get your number, all right?
All right.
Nice thank
talking
you.
To you guys.
All right, nice talking to you. You've been listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock, Bob Leonard in the studio. All of you have a great, great holiday. Have a great Christmas. If you don't celebrate Christmas, have a great holiday anyway. We're going to be back next Saturday. We're going to do our show. It'll be before the New Year's, but all of you, in the meantime, stay safe. And keep your and make it a good holiday for yourself.
And Brad, we have Christmas presents, all the people out there, all the resources we have for your blogs, Denver Post.
All right.
Merry Christmas.
Take a look at them. We'll be back with you next week.